Now for our first feature. There was panic in the City of London 150 years ago with the collapse of a bank with strong local connections. An extract from Trevor Heaton's article is read by Peter Walsh.
The bank at the heart of the banking calamity was the once famous institution of Overend and Gurney, an institution with connections to famous East Anglian banking dynasties. The name might be unfamiliar now, but in the early part of the last century, its fame spread well beyond banking circles. In fact, so important was Overend and Gurney that it was considered second only to the Bank of England in keeping the financial wheels turning. The reason was its skill at exploiting bills of exchange, the, in effect, post-dated cheques, which required money to be paid at some predetermined date. These bills of exchange were a simple and popular way of settling debts for all sorts of businesses, and the likes of Overend and Gurney made money by buying these bills and either holding on to them or selling them on. It was a system which depended on trust. Their word really was their bond, and the magic of the Gurney name added a particular lustre to the bank's reputation. There were strong family ties with Gurney's Bank in Norwich, founded in 1775, and famous for its financial probity. By the 1850s, it was handling £70 million worth of bills every year, an enormous sum equivalent to around £8.5 billion in today's money. Nothing, it seemed, could go wrong. Yet, behind the scenes, things were beginning to unravel. Overend and Gurney passed into the hands of the next generation. Their lending policy was altogether more risky than before, and although the core business was sound, more and more money was being gambled on projects which had little or no chance of repaying the investment. After 4 years of struggle, discreet approaches were made to friends and fellow banks to inject vital capital into the failing business. After those approaches failed, it was decided to embark on the riskier option of turning Overend and Gurney into a public company. Risky because, in order to make the share issue a success, much had to be made of the company's supposedly healthy prospects. The public bought into the fiction. Shares quickly doubled in price. Investors thought they were getting a bargain. For every £50 of shares, they would only pay £15, with the other £35 only to be called on if strictly necessary. In 1866, some of the Overend and Gurney banked businesses started slipping into insolvency. Rumours began to circulate that the partners would have to sell their assets to plug the gaps. This was all getting far too close to home for the Gurneys. There was a need, a pressing, frantic need, to disengage the two operations, to avoid the Lombard Street business dragging down its, inverted commas, parent in its wake. A rapid rearrangement of partners in the Norwich Bank, while still keeping it in the family, naturally, meant that when the new look bank began life on April the 23rd, 1866, it could safely claim to be unaffected by any London-based turbulence. It was only just in time. On May the 9th, a court ruled that the bank did not have the power to enforce a debt owed by the Mid Wales Railway. Desperate, the discount house called for the Bank of England to help keep it afloat. But its governor, Lancelot Holland, refused. Word quickly spread about the dire financial situation at the bank, and queues soon began to form as investors desperately tried to extract their money before the whole tottering edifice crashed down. At 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, May the 10th, 1866, it did, when a note was pinned on the door of the Lombard Street offices saying that the firm had suspended payments because of a run on deposits. Panic ensued. Crowds of the bank's 2,000 or so investors flocked to the offices, desperate to find out where their money had gone. Within hours, other banks were feeling the nerves. By midday the next day, May the 11th, There were so many people packing the street that it was impossible to pass through. The contagion of panic soon spread, moving outwards from London to the country banks, which faced running out of gold and cash deposits. The Bank of England could stand aside no longer, keeping the banking system flowing with an injection of £4 million. For the unlucky investors in Overend and Gurney, the fallout was crippling. Remember that bargain share flotation, where every £50 of shares could be bought for only £15? Well, the crash means that investors were called on to stump up the remaining £35. It spelt financial ruin for many. Meanwhile, the bank's directors were engaged in a damage limitation exercise too, not only for their estates but also for their reputations. In September 1866, John Henry Gurney agreed with Overend and Gurney's liquidators that any further properties that had to be sold could be bought by family trusts without going on the open market. It was the prelude to years of discreet asset sales that reduced the damage to the previously impeccable Gurney name. The timely moves in April 1866 to put Gurney & Co. at arm's length from its cousin institution meant the Norwich Bank could stay afloat too.